next week, there'll be a memorial service, a celebration of the life of Bellevue police officer Jordan Jackson, the young motorcycle officer hit and killed by a car last week. If you would like to help his family, he's got two children under the age of five. You could go to John Carlson Radio on Facebook. That's John Carlson Radio on Facebook. And scroll down just a little bit, and there's a link there where you can donate to the Officer Jordan Jackson Fund. This is for his wife. This is for his two kids. I mean, can you imagine during the holidays having to tell your three-year-old that daddy left for work and daddy's not coming home? Ever? So that's what that young family has to deal with right now. And you can help by going to my Facebook radio page, John Carlson Radio. Just click on that link. Give a donation of any size you'd like to help these children and his very much grieving spouse. Very sad story. A lot of ground we have to cover. We have been talking about the climate change conference, the national or the international summit held in Egypt. The big news out of that was, well, first of all, the major contributor to greenhouse gases, China, did not bother participating, but a fund was created where wealthy countries would make reparations to developing countries because of the carbon footprint and the destructive climate policies, climate results that have resulted from economic development in the wealthier countries. That caught my attention. And then something else caught my attention afterwards. The United Nations, the IPCC, which is the climate change panel at the UN, and also New York Times climate columnist David Wallace Wells, have lowered the estimate of anticipated warming in half. They've cut what they thought would be up to a 5-degree increase by the end of the century to about 2 to 3 degrees. And I'm saying, well, this is interesting. You'd think that's a massive, huge breakthrough. But you've heard very little about it. And I said, you know, I want to bring on someone who cuts to the quick and talks about what science says, not what politicians and activists say. So, of course, that means Cliff Mass, professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington, has a great blog on the weather, just outstanding blog on the weather, Cliff Mass Blogspot, and, of course, the author of that great book, in a new edition, out last year, The Weather of the Pacific Northwest. Good morning, Cliff Mass.
Good morning. And it's a little bit of a snowy morning in North Seattle.
Yes. Do you want to tell us what we have to look forward to before we talk about climate change?
Well, this is something that's kind of related to climate change and weather. You know, our ability to forecast the weather has gotten much better over the last few decades. And for this snow event, we did something that we couldn't have done 20 years ago. Basically, you know, forecast that the snow would be worse in North Seattle and Snohomish County. And we did that, you know, the day before. The models all showed it. And it's just a great example of our ability to forecast. And that has some implications for climate change because, you know, when you're talking about extreme weather events, we can forecast them now in a way we couldn't do that previously. And that allows people to get out of the way to protect economic assets. So it's a whole different world in terms of forecasting. And that has implications not only for the forecasting side, but for the climate side as well.
Great point, Cliff Mass. So David Wallace Wells wrote a worst-case scenario in the New York Times Magazine 5 years ago. That said, here's what will happen if the climate warms as much as 5 degrees Celsius, which is what, quote, climate scientists, close quote, are telling us. And, of course, 5 degrees Celsius, he said, would be catastrophic, extreme weather, terrible damage to the environment, the economy, everywhere would collapse. There would be famine. There would be war. Basically biblical, pestilence everywhere. And now he writes a updated essay that says, quote, the end game looks calmer and more stable than it did a few years ago. I've grown more optimistic than I used to be. Why the huge swing in such a short period of time? What's going on, Cliff?
Well, I think the key thing is that his original article was irresponsible. It was completely in contrast to the science of what we knew at the time. So it was a terrible, terrible article that presented this apocalyptic future that no one in the scientific community was talking about. So this shows you you don't necessarily need to believe some writer for the New York Times, because it was completely wrong. And everybody recognized it was wrong in the scientific community as just hyping and exaggerating climate change. So he wrote an article that was terrible and unfactual, and then new one is a lot more realistic and reflects what the mainstream science indicates.
And the mainstream science would indicate a warming trend that continues, and there is certainly reason for mitigation, and there's reason, opportunities to reduce carbon footprints through technologies, through nuclear power, et cetera, et cetera. But no reason for panic, no reason for alarm.
That's exactly right. So basically, global warming is a modest problem. It's a slow problem. We're slowly warming. And so it's not the end of the world. It's not some tipping point we're going to fall off of or whatever. And so it's something that we have time to deal with. We can deal with it in a variety of ways. We can reduce our emissions into the atmosphere. We can work on adaptation to try to get more air conditioners and things like that. So it's just not the end of the world. And I think he's starting to recognize that.
Tell me what you thought about the big climate summit in Egypt.
Well, I mean, they accomplished extremely little. So what they did is they came up with this concept of this climate fund that will somehow make these third world countries whole from extreme weather. But there's a weakness in all this, and that's the assumption that the extreme weather was due to climate change. And how do you prove that? There's a phenomenal amount of exaggeration about extreme weather or even interesting weather and climate change. It's totally hyped up and exaggerated. So first, there's no money there at all. But then how are you going to say that a certain event is due to climate change? The whole thing falls apart.
Sure. Let me give an example of, you know, how do you know it's climate change? And it's a very local example, and you've been talking about it for the last few years. In 2020, wildfire fighting season was terrible. 842,000 acres burned in Washington. And last year, it was a little above average, 484,000 acres burned. And we were told time after time by politicians at every level of government, from mayors to Jay Inslee to the president of the United States, this is a sign of climate change. This is what climate change has wrought. Well, the numbers just came in for this year's wildfires. Not 840,000 acres, not 484,000 acres, 140,000 acres. In other words, the wildfires were down about 70% cliff mass.
And well, it's even more interesting than that.
Okay.
We had extremely low acreage with the warmest, driest summer we've ever had. So that's an issue, too. We were very hot and dry here in the Northwest, but we had very few fires.
How come?
How do you explain that? Well, actually, you know, I actually have a grant with the National Science Foundation to look at Northwest wildfires and meteorology and climate. So I've been looking at this, and I've been talking to my students about it, and we have some hypotheses about this. For instance, I'll give you some examples. One thing that really produces the big fires are very strong winds coming down the mountains. That was actually kind of less this year. Okay, so the winds, the wind situation was more favorable. We had a good snowpack early in the season. That probably helped. We're being more careful about starting fires. We're seeing more local power companies, which start a lot of fires, de-energizing lines, clearing branches away from lines. So being more careful about that. So there's a number of reasons, I think. It's just not one reason why the wildfire season was very benign. But one thing is clear. It was very low here. It was also very low in California, which had extraordinarily a warm and dry period. So it shows you the connection between fires and the weather that summer is not as strong as some people have been claiming. And the real story is the fires are the result of man's problems in terms of managing forests,
yes,
invasive grasses, and starting the fires.
Yep.
That's 90% of the fire problem is us and is not climate.
You know, the other part about this, Cliff, is the media, when there is a bad wildfire season and the politicians say, this is climate change, you want to see what happens with climate change, look at all these wildfires. They don't come back the year later when wildfires are way down and ask those same politicians, you attributed the wildfires last year to climate change. This year, they're down 70%. If it's all about climate change, why are the fires down?
That's right.
They never put them on the spot. They never make them defend their rhetoric. And that's a separate problem. So let me ask you, with even the New York Times now starting to pull back on some of its doomsday rhetoric related to climate change, are you getting a bit more optimistic that the climate change conversation is going to become more sensible and once again based on science rather than on politics, ideology, and alarmism?
Well, I'd have to be a sociologist to answer that one. But I think the key issue is that reality is showing us what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. In the end, you can't deny reality. And the truth is the planet's not warming up as fast as some of the earlier projections. They're clearly in error. And after a while, you just can't deny that that's true. I mean, even around here, back in the early 2000s, they were talking about the snowpack disappearing, right? There were articles right and left about that,
right?
How the Cascade snowpack was toast, right? And 50% gone, going to our mayor at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the snowpack is just gone down very slightly. So the snowpack is holding on. In fact, this year is going to have another good snowpack, almost for sure. So in the end, reality shows you the way. And clearly the Earth is not warming up as fast as some people had claimed.
Cliff Mass, University of Washington. By the way, if you're looking around for Christmas gifts, Cliff Mass's great book, The Weather of the Pacific Northwest, is available at fine bookstores, online, everywhere. Definitely a great gift to get for someone on your list who's fascinated and interested in the weather and climate here in this part of the country. Cliff, great having you here. Thanks again for making the time.
Really good to talk to you, John.
You got it. That's Cliff Mass, University of Washington.